Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here today. We bless and praise your name. So anyways, we are still on the five women in the genealogy of Matthew, Matthew chapter one. And today we are going to begin, probably might take 2 weeks, and do a study on Mary as in the mother of Jesus. So we will start in Matthew chapter 1, verse first, I believe. Let's see, first verse 16, and then I'll move on to up to 23. And Joseph and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And then it goes on with the many generations. And then verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, and that's the prophet Isaiah, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, Emmanuel, which is translated God is with us. And I think it's important to understand that there's such a range of women's stories from the genealogy in Matthew. There's such a variety of women's stories, from widows to prostitutes to victims of abuse to the power of an ordinary woman, and that is the young Mary. And so here in the scriptures, we see Mary is chosen by God for the most important job in history. That is pretty incredible. She was a perfect and unlikely choice. Her demeanor was gentle, sweet, and she was called to carry the Savior of the world in her womb in a lowly stable. Pretty incredible. Just the whole story is so incredible. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. He's speaking to Israel, of which we know they did not recognize Jesus. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, or God with us. And Isaiah 7:11 says, Isaiah's prophecy was 600 years before Christ was born, as a promise to the Jewish people, a sign that would be as deep as Sheol or Hades or as high as heaven. So when you think about it, the fact that Christ was born as a sign, and it says as deep as Sheol or as deep as hell or as high as heaven, it to me is this image of the Lord at the cross descending into hell and being raised up again in the resurrection to heaven. And that's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 11. Also, too, we can look at Isaiah chapter 9, if I can find it. Isaiah 9, verse 6, and I will read that. For unto us is born a child, unto us a son is given, And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government or his rule, there will be no end. So again, you know, this scripture, it smacks of Christmas to us. But when you think about it, it's so much more than that, you know, that this was a promise to the Jewish people. So they had been looking for Messiah all along and didn't recognize him when he did come. And they knew the scriptures, especially the religious people, they knew the scriptures. And, you know, Mary herself knew the scriptures and knew the spirit. You know, she knew the law, but she knew the spirit too. And she validated what was happening to her when the angel of the Lord came to her. But it's amazing when you think of the names of God, and we were talking about it last night at the meeting, just all the names of God, and there's so many, and they are all different aspects of who he is, you know. And when it says the government will be upon his shoulder, that's the kingdom government that far surpasses the governments of this world, right? And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor. You know, if you're in trouble or you're needing some assistance, he's your counselor. He is your counselor. He's a wonderful counselor, you know. There are good and bad ones, right? But he is the ultimate counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So again, he's an eternal parent, an eternal father for all of his children. And it's so much greater than the vision that we have of even earthly parents, right? That God, even when we have a lack as children, God is the perfect parent, and he will redeem all that was lacking when it comes to, you know, maybe counseling that you needed as a child, or you know, direction, or whatever it is that we need, you know. And we were talking about that last night, and we were talking about forgiveness and earthly fathers, and you know, all the stuff that comes with fathers and mothers that are not perfect parents, right? And they were talking about forgiveness, you know, and is it possible to forgive a terrible parent? Yes, it is. In the grace of God, it is. Is it possible to forgive a parent that was just not involved? Yes. And especially in that generation, or like my father's generation, they were not open emotionally. They were not nurturing like you see, you know, some parents nowadays. And in fact, parents nowadays kind of go overboard as far as, you know, befriending their children rather than parenting them and all that. But, you know, we have the opportunity, even with a damaged past, to become children that are parented by a perfect father who will walk alongside you, who will give you direction, who will give you counsel, who will never, ever, ever leave you. He's an everlasting parent, an everlasting father. And so oftentimes I find that among human beings, you know, we hold on to some of the things that we lacked as far as growing up. You know, some things are worse than other things, of course, but that God is able to fill in those gaps, you know. And, you know, I, like for me, my father wasn't very involved, you know, as was typical of parents in that day. He wasn't involved, like he didn't tell me what to do with my life, or, you know, he wasn't that kind of parent. And when I came to Christ at 16, I had a new parent that was with me, that guided me, that counseled me, that gave me direction, that encouraged me, all the things that I lacked, God became for me. And He can do that with all of us, regardless of what we've been through. So I love that He's an everlasting Father. I never have to worry about being abandoned as some have. I never have to worry about not knowing what to do because I have a father who will tell me what to do or just simply sit with me for a while and just be there, So I love that about the Lord. He's our eternal Father. And I love the fact that I can merge parent with father, or even mother, as he has that gentle side to him as well. So when we talk about the Lord, he is all that we lack. And we are not defined by our past. We are not. We are given an opportunity as totally new creations when we come to Christ. Now, there is often that gap between that beginning and walking it out, right? We go through a series of repentance and healing and all those kinds of things, but that's part of being discipled by the Lord. And by the way, who do you think was the longest disciple of Jesus? Mary. She was there. She was the only person there when he was born, and the only person there when he died, both in birth and death. She's the only person that was in both places. So that's saying a lot. Also, too, Mary is, which I thought this was interesting, she was the fourth most mentioned person in the scriptures after Jesus, Peter, and Paul. There is Mary. Poor Mary. That speaks volumes to her importance, and that speaks volumes to how God values women. And, in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, it talks about the angel coming to Mary and letting her know that she was, pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And she was like, how's that going to work? How can this be? I've never known a man. How can this be? And the fact that she was submitted, but if an angel came to you and told you something, and you're already in line with the spirit and with, the law and all that, you would have the grace to receive that, I think, because I just think it would be amazing to see an angel and have an angel speak to you something that specific. And we know that when Jesus comes and he specifically reveals himself in all these nations in the world in their dreams and in their visions and all that, they are automatically transformed. And so I think the very presence of God in that way would lend to the fact that you would be submitted to him as well. I haven't heard of anyone who had a dream of the Lord in another country who did not become converted. So that just shows you the power of that visitation, right? So Mary submitted, and she responds by saying, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. Now, keep in mind, she was young. She was female and she was poor. Something totally unheard of in that culture, that even the religious people of the day expected, you know, him riding on a war horse rather than a donkey, or, you know, his ways are just so not our ways, you know. And God's patterns or his ways we see in the Gospels, and especially in these stories where there's not a lot said about the history of a lot of the women of the scriptures. You have to kind of use your imagination. Like, we don't hear about the rest of Jesus's family besides his brothers, and I think his sisters are mentioned, but not a whole lot of information there, right? But the Lord's pattern in his ways is always for the lowly. And they are, just like Mary, favored by God. And that is counterculture, that's upside down, that's, you know, a reverse perspective, right? She was virtuous in that she did follow the law and she did respond to the Spirit. And so really what that is grace. That is so much grace, because the law is not abolished in the New Testament. It comes alongside of the gospel, you know, but it could not be fulfilled by human beings from the very beginning because of the fall and all that transpired after that. So, you know, I was reading a little bit, this is kind of a side thing. I was reading a little bit about when Jesus had the triumphal entry, and we've talked about that a number of times. And in one of the gospels, it's not Matthew, maybe it's Luke or John, I'm not sure. But in one of them, it says there was the two donkeys, that there was the colt, which was the baby, you know, so to speak, never been ridden. And there was the mother, you know, there was the donkey. And it says that Jesus rode them, but he didn't straddle them. You know, when it says in the scriptures that, you know, they put on the blankets or whatever on there, he didn't ride two donkeys at once, right? He rode on the blankets, right? But there's something to be said, and it would be interesting to look into when you look at how the colt or the young one had to be near the mom. You know what I'm saying? So and it's like the colt is like the New Testament and the gospel, and the mom is like the law, you know, and they rode together in the triumphal entry. And I forget which gospel, but I think it's worth looking into. I thought it was pretty interesting. So we know Jesus was born of a woman and that he was human by nature and also divine by the Spirit. And what that does, it lends dignity and respect to all women. You know, the fact that we are born human and then we are born again of the Spirit, it's the same kind of image, you know. In Luke chapter 1, let's look at that, verse 46. This is Mary's prayer, the Magnificat, Luke 1:46. Okay. Let me back up to 45. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. In his mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. This would be a very interesting study, I think, to go through this whole prayer. But it very much parallels with Hannah's prayer that we will see in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2, I believe. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and my horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. For no one is holy like the Lord, and there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God." So you see, these are very, very similar prayers. And when Hannah is praying about the horn being exalted, let me find it again real quick. "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord." The horn, actually, it's a symbol of strength and being built up. So we know the story of Hannah, right? That she was childless for a very, very long time, and she was at the temple always praying and crying. Talk about asking, seeking, and knocking, right? She did not give up, and she had eventually she had Samuel. And so you understand there are probably a lot of the same kind of thinking and thoughts and in the hearts and minds of both Hannah and Mary. As the Lord moved, you know, the Lord, when he visited Mary, strengthened her as well. You know, he banished fear from her. And, you know, there are times when the Lord visits us, you know, and it can be a little daunting, especially if it's something outside of our comfort zone. Like, I'm going to, you know, I want you to go and preach to so-and-so, or I want you to go to Africa, Mary Jo, or I want, you know what I mean? There are things that the Lord requires of us that is sometimes daunting, but if we look to him, he banishes fear, and he does strengthen our horn. He does build us up, and he does give us the grace and the encouragement to do whatever it is that is his will. And there's probably not too many people that had to submit to such a challenging will as Mary, right? So that whole image of strength and power, that God will give you the power to do whatever he calls you to do. And when Hannah prayed to God as Jehovah, she saw him as merciful, that he was a covenant keeper, that he was a creator who made man and continued to demonstrate his love to man even after the fall. Jehovah was the redeemer, the father, the shepherd. And that is in, I believe, you can just look at it later, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. And there's an emphasis there on God's omnipotent power, that he can do anything. And Hannah, like Mary, knew God's character and prayed on the basis, not of the law, but on the basis of his love, his faithfulness, and his power. So she knew God. Because if you look at the Old Testament and you look at it through the grid of just rules, you're not looking at it through the eyes of grace, because that is given to us for our education, for our knowledge. A lot of times people just do away with the Old Testament, but there are so many treasures in the Old Testament, that we can glean from, right? And again, Mary was the only person present at Jesus' birth and death. That's in John chapter 19, verse 25. She was his first and his longest disciple. I am going to go back to Matthew. Well, maybe I'll go. Yeah, let's go back to Matthew. We're going to close off in just a hot second. I purposefully am trying to make this a little shorter, so I hope that you guys are doing okay with that. Okay, now we know that the angel of the Lord appeared not only to Mary, but to Joseph as well. And we know that the story of Elizabeth, when she met Mary, she recognized that divine presence in the womb of Mary. See, when we really see from the Spirit, we see things that are way beyond what is in the surface of things. And that's the genius and the life that the Word of God gives us, right? There are so many places you can go in just one little story that can really feed you something of the life of God, I mean, really, the Word is bread for us. And water for us, it's so powerful. And it's really easy to get out of the habit of going to the Word, and now it's even easier than ever. You can look up anything on Google, and I also think too that that's a good instrument to use, but it can't be everything. You have to put your time in. But anyway, so with the whole story of Mary, she's young. What, 13, 14, maybe 15 years old? And yet she recognized the Spirit of God. And you see all these religious leaders who expected something different, had this grid of understanding, and totally missed it. And you think, I wish that I would have recognized him if that happened to me. But you know what? You're not guaranteed that that would be the case because the Lord still continues to visit us by the Spirit. And a lot of times we don't know it's him until after the fact, and we look back, right? Like sometimes it looks like even the enemy, and it's not, like that Psalm says, goodness and mercy follow me. So when you are perplexed and can't see God right in front of you, if you would just remember all the way that he's led you. And then you can look at his goodness and his mercy and his faithfulness and start telling yourself in your own thinking and in your own heart how awesome he is, how wonderful he is, how beautiful he is, and when we have the kind of tone and demeanor of humility like Mary did, I mean, what was said to her was really devastating in, from the prophet Simon. I think it was Simon, right? That said, a sword will pierce your heart. I mean, that kind of thing probably never left her all raising up the Lord. In fact, as awesome as she was an ordinary woman too. She wasn't that real happy when Jesus stayed back for 3 days in the temple, and she was a little irritated, which to me gives me a little bit of encouragement. Like we are not perfect. We don't have to be perfect. We are under grace. And what a privilege to live in this hour, rather than another time and place. We've all been put here at this time for such a time as this. Whatever God wants to do with all of us, like he did with all these women, from such a variety of backgrounds, from the worst to the best. And we all fall in there somewhere. Sometimes, like I look at my past and I'm like, I was the worst. And I was never a good, well, maybe I was good for a little while. I don't know. Maybe when I was not aware, but some people, their testimony isn't that they had this radical conversion out of, addiction or whatever. It's just as valid when you look at the life of Mary, right? It's just as valid. And I know, we can compare ourselves to one another, but if you're really looking for God, if you're really submitted to the Spirit, you're going to have the same reaction whether you were a really good, girl, so to speak, like Mary, but ordinary, had kind of an ordinary life, good parents, good school, not a lot of issues along the way, or you're a former Rahab or whatever, right? Maybe you were a manipulator, a little bit like Tamar. I don't know. But wherever we fall in that line, we're all the same. And we all need Jesus in that place. And I'm just going to leave the Gospel of Matthew alone till maybe next week. And I don't even know if I will continue with Mary next week or not. I don't know. And in fact, I was going to ask you all, and I'm going to close up in just a second. If there's anything that you would really, really want to hear or study, I mean, I've been mulling over, because I love this thing about the women. I've been mulling over a book of Esther, and I know we've done it a number of times, but it's so powerful. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. But also, too, I would like to get back to the Gospels as well. So I want to hear from you guys after this, after I sign off and see and pray about where to go from here. Okay. All right. That's it. Amen.